The summary line of judgment at Nuremberg is thus when Judge Haywood confronts Janet in prison, and he says that anyone who condemns an innocent man, an is person, to death is as though they are guilty for all the blood of all the other innocents in the war in Nazi Germany. He was the ruling factor that enacted the laws of the Nazis, a war criminal state. This begs the question of the, I'm not sure that's the right expression I want to use here, but it brings forward the saying that the Jews have, that whoever saves a life, it's the same as saving the whole world. Well, whoever condemns an innocent life, it's the same as condemning the whole world to murder. And what does this mean? The blood of the innocent cries out from the ground. God says it does. Abortion is murder of the innocent. This is a crime against humanity and civilization. There's no other beast, every other normal beast, the bear, the deer, they protect their newborns and their unborn. They protect their offspring, except for mankind. Mankind has some of the most brutal laws, and it's just heinous. And this is a time where the mystery of iniquity is full over the earth. I'm going to discuss a couple more court cases that sum up the judgment of a nation. A nation is a body of laws that governs that particular set of people or parameters, boundary lines, agreement to be civilized, to work together. The other historically high-profile cases where a nation becomes criminal and is guilty of war crimes or acts of war against humanity and against its own population is Sodom and Gomorrah. In the book of Jasher, it outlines how judgment was given because the judges were unjust and condemned innocents and outsiders to cruel and unusual harassment and exploitation by that particular culture, including the sexual exploitation of angelic beings. And the second high-profile case that we need to look at in which the innocent are condemned to die is the case of Jesus of Nazareth when he was turned in by the Sanhedrin and condemned to death because he said he was, allegedly because he blasphemed God. He did not. He said he was the Son of God. He said he was God. And that is no reason to condemn someone to die when they speak the truth. And Pilate even asked him. He said, well, don't you know your own? He said, well, let me read the account because it's pretty interesting, actually, from a court judicial point of view. The account from Scriptures, John 18, 19, we'll start here. Well, let's start at 18. And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? And Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early in the morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. The praetorium is the governor's headquarters, so the high priest judged him. They gave him over to the Roman political system. They became patriots. Uh-oh. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, calling Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself on this, or did others tell you this about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am the king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to him, "I find no fault in him at all." Now, when Pilate said, "What is truth?" he did not hear the voice of truth speaking to him. But he found no fault in Jesus. Nevertheless, "I find no fault in him." Jesus was innocent. "But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried out, saying, "Not this man, Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took him and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. And Pilate then went out again and said to him, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." He was innocent. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate said to him, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and power to release you?" And Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me, unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friends." It's become a let's keep the king, Caesar, intact. Let's keep the Roman political system intact. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When the Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king!" But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to him, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to the place called the place of a skull, which is in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. All right, so what happened to that nation? Well, 40 years later, less than 40 years, 36, I believe, 69 AD, Jesus was crucified in 33 CE, 69 CE. So it would have been 33 years later, 36 years later, excuse me, that Rome came and invaded Jerusalem and burned it to the ground, including the temple. And Jesus' temple now is we, the body of Christ. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We bring the kingdom. We are the kingdom come. But what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Let's rerun back here. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom, by the way, means scorched or burnt. It was smoked. It's at the foot of Masada. And there are sulfur bars, balls there now that have been analyzed, and the sulfur configuration, the chemical configuration, is only possible under intense heat because they were unjust, because they had crossed the laws. They had crossed not just the natural laws that God ordained for the world, that even the natural animals and beasts, but they had been given so far over that they had seared consciousness, and God smoked them. And Jerusalem was smoked 36 years after an innocent man was crucified. And God smoked Germany in World War II because the high level occult. And now God is exposing the Vatican pedophilia. And even 2 days ago, there was an article out. The nation state, the Vatican. This is from Victoris Liber. Libertas VL. It's on YouTube. This was a breaking news yesterday, Saturday, June 7th, 8th. And what happened is that,
folks, we have
Operation Elysium in Austria and Germany was busted under the dark net. Evidently, they had a pedophile ring of 90,000 people. Oh, it's German, it was July 6th, excuse me. Thursday, July 6th, German prosecutors. They shut down a major platform used by elite pedophiles for organizing sexual abuse of children, which led to the arrest of its suspected ringleader and senior members of the pedophile community in Germany and abroad. This is going to, there have been a lot of arrests being made. The dark web has been shut down, resulting in thousands arrested, including high-level politicians, entertainers, white-collar professionals, high-ranking clergy members. According to several sources, the German prosecutors shut down a major platform used by elite pedophiles for organizing the sexual abuse of children, which led to the arrest of a suspected ringleader and senior member of the pedophile community in Germany and abroad. The sting dubbed Operation Elysium was launched on the eve of the G20 Hamburg, throwing global summit into disarray after key members of at least two European delegations were held by police, according to Your News Wire. Further arrests have been made globally during the initial raid and in joint effort involving international law enforcement agencies. According to Neonettle, there were over 87,000 members trading images and videos of the most serious sexual abuse of children, including babies, and representations of sexual violence against children. The Elysian platform, built as a forum, has existed since the end of 2016 and was only accessible via the so-called darknet. Frankfurt public prosecutors, officers, and BK federal police sent a statement, according to Reuters, which is also reporting the arrest. Several users of the website, mainly in Germany and Austria, have been arrested. The unidentified man who was the site's suspected operator was arrested June 12th when the police raided his apartment, seizing the server used to host the site. He'd been sentenced to 30 years. The latest bus, okay. So you can read this yourself, but these violations are being exposed. They're being highlighted. What's done in secret, what's done in the dark, is being exposed before the public eye, and there will be judgment. The Lord spoke to me in this dream that I had that he was going to expose the shame of the Vatican. And this happens, this judgment, this is part of it, but it's going to increase and become greater.